Hello everybody, I'm George Abide. Well, thank you for coming to my channel. This is about the Russian Shadow Fleet, and I did a video on this, I think, a couple of years ago. So that's because since 2022, Russia's illegal unprovoked invasion of Ukraine, Russia's been mostly unable to get insurance for these oil tankers exporting its oil. And Western countries, it's mostly Western countries that sanction them, but like South Korea, Japan as well, have decided to wean themselves off Russian oil and gas. Like I say, about 50% of the European Union's liquid natural gas came from Russia when the war began. It's now under 10%. Ideally, it's going to be zero in a while. Slovakia and Hungary, the only two which are buying significant amounts, stuff like that, Russian oil. And one of the reasons Putin thought he'd succeed in this war is he threatened his Western countries. If you support Ukraine, I will switch off your heating in winter and I will stop selling oil and gas to you. And obviously the Russian economy could weather that for a couple of months. But here we are 4 years in, you know, oil and gas were up to 50% of Russian government revenues, you know, years ago. It wasn't quite that high in 2022, before the war. But, you know, it's much lower now. It's more like 25% selling to India and China, particularly at a discount. So Russia couldn't get insurance for these ships. And obviously you need them because something goes wrong, explodes, or there's a leak. The cost of cleaning that, hundreds of millions, could be billions of dollars. And sometimes whatever, whoever's got liability, the ship owner, the oil company, couldn't pay. You could bankrupt and they still wouldn't be able to pay at all, or they just refuse. And how are you going to force that against Russia? It's difficult. So, you know, Western countries, sanctioning countries, they control a huge chunk of the world insurance markets, about 85% of the world's insurance market. So if Russia can get insurance, it's inadequate, it'd be too expensive, and so on. So these ships, which are not seaworthy, going on, turning off the AIS so people couldn't find them to try and sort of go dark and stuff like that. So by its broadest definition, they have up to 1,400 ships in this, but often they're not Russian-owned, could be registered in any other countries, owned in other countries. Their flags are convenience because every ship has to be registered in a country, like Liberia and Panama register loads. So countries, some shipping companies, ship owners, register them in the cheapest country to do so. Those were the laxest safety standards. That's just easiest to comply with, and so on. So they're usually not flying Russian flags and sometimes try to change flag mid-voyage and stuff like that. They call it the Grey Fleet or the Dark Fleet or something like that. So the International Maritime Organization, a UN body headquartered in London, curiously enough, they have their definition of this, okay? So it says it's illegal where they're using these ships to get around sanctions, things like that. They are not acting consonant with safety, environmental standards, and so forth. Okay, so either inadequate insurance or no insurance and stuff like that. Exporting crude oil, sometimes processed oil. A lot of it's crude to India, refined there. And the United Kingdom sometimes purchases that Russian oil, which is refined in India, which is surely unacceptable. So anyway, they've been quite effective in having this workaround. I mean, Iran's had to do this for years and sort of taught them how to do it. Gabon has doubled the number of ships registered under it and stuff like that. So the Ukrainians have developed a catalogue of all these ships. Now, so one of the things is to seize these ships. And there has been some action in seizing them. And France seized a Russian ship quite recently. I mean, even if it wasn't actually Russian owned or registered, effectively it's part of this shadow fleet, right? Turkey's been facilitating this too because they get them quite cheap and so on, oil quite cheap, but Turkey doesn't sanction Russia at all. It's a NATO country, it's not a European Union country. So last year, the Ukrainian Secret Service, SBU, they hit two Shadow Fleet tankers in the southern part of the Black Sea, Birat and Kairos, and so on. And they struck one in the Mediterranean Sea and stuff like that. And there's one which I think is listing, and the crew been taken off, may hit the coast of Libya, could be an ecological disaster. Would you have to blame Ukraine for that or whatever? It's always going to damage these ships, take them out of commission. Other companies, governments will be more reluctant to get involved with this. So if you took all these ships off the sea, then Russia would not be able to export most of its oil and gas. And yes, it has pipelines, but there are limits, only so many billions of cubic meters per year they can export through. You know, oil tankers, modern good ones, are very expensive as well. And the sailors, they're often not Russian. They're, you know, Filipinos and various other nationalities. They may not even realize quite what they're part of. And sometimes there's ship-to-ship oil transfer at sea to ensure opacity. People are not sure where the oil came from, and so on. So last year, the Germans, they seized a ship under a Panama flag. And so on. And the Finns seized a ship as far back as 2024, the Estonians and so on, they seized one of these ships and so on, so forth. the Germans and the Estonians have seized a few of them, but far, far more could be seized. Now, the Russian Navy started to escort some of its ships in June 2026. So this is coming on to why more of them aren't seized. I mean, partly it's because they think pushback. What's Russia going to do? Is it going to start seizing other oil tankers and so on? The other thing is, because even if you're not purchasing Russian oil and gas, it's about the world market. How much is on the market? And if you take it off the market, then the world price is going to go up. That's why there was that price cap was introduced, rather than trying to prevent all Russian oil and gas sales, because then the world price would go too up and that would hurt Western economies too much. But would that bring a war to an end sooner? And obviously, one of the lies like Russia likes to tell itself and the world is that it's got bottomless resources. It can just go on forever. In terms of having guys killed, about 1,000 casualties a day, only around 300 of those are killed. But economically, it can sustain this war indefinitely. And obviously, that's not true. That's why people are saying, you know, maybe another 4 years, like max. But obviously, they've gone on much longer than anybody thought. The sanctions have been less effective. And also, they've been less strict. The enforcement has been lax. There have been workarounds. And there's not been firm enough action against countries like Georgia or Turkey or the UAE or China or, you know, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Azerbaijan, various countries which will purchase sanctioned items and sell them onto Russia illegally. Yeah, part of this, so sanctions evasion, which is one of the things kept their civil aviation fleet going, although that's another story. So, you know, sanctioning countries be much more proactive in seizing these ships and taking them off. And there are only so many oil tankers in the world, and it just wouldn't be possible to continue. And so far, Russia's not retaliated. I'm not quite sure why. So is that one of the things that are holding them up for fear that Russia will do something? Okay, so if you take these off the seas, then the Russian economy crumbles. They can't afford to go on much longer. They spent most of their national wealth fund. By the end of this year, it'll be almost all gone. But they have had a bit of a shot in the arm from this Iran war, which has driven up you know, world oil and gas prices. And they could go even higher, could go on for long. How long, we don't know. Even the war end today, market confidence would have to take some time to return, because there's always a risk Israel and the United States could restart this war, or Iran could restart this war. So for people to be confident that there's no significant risk of a restarting and the oil prices to fall back down, that's going to take a long time. And yes, countries are moving ahead with green energy, but obviously not fast enough. But yeah, that is possibly the key to the war, because what can change this equation is on the Russian side, obviously, if they make more money, or they just conscript more people, or they manage to get more foreigners to join their army. On the Ukrainian side, if we deprive the Russians of their revenues with which to prosecute their war, or indeed just give the Ukrainians more weapons, and then they can go on indefinitely. The Ukrainians cannot outnumber the Russians, but what they can do is they can out-technology them. Anyway, what do you think? Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.